This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 343 for Wednesday, December 18th, 2019. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. And boy, do we have a full house tonight. Joining me this week for our annual holiday roundtable is Ryan Murphy from Zombies Ate My Podcast, The Gamer's Inn, Dungeons and Diapers, and you can find him at R. Murphy on Twitter. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. I didn't do the math, but I'm pretty sure I was on the Citadel Cafe in early 2019. So it's good. I was here in 2019. We're all set.
Yes. I think everyone that I invited tonight was at least on once over the course of the year. And unfortunately, not everybody could make it. Brockett Vola at the Catvolver and hashtag candy of this day is also here. Hello, Brockett.
Hello.
We've got Megan Townsend, of course. You can find her at O Megan Townsend on all the social media that matters.
Hello.
And back for, I think, the third time this year, or maybe at least the second, is Alistair McFly. You can find him at omyzod.com or at imcfly. Good day, sir.
Good day.
Or good evening, I guess. What? It's nighttime for most of us. My day just disappeared. Unfortunately, Stephen Sharkey-Schwinard, who was here a couple of weeks ago, could not join us. You can find him at webtoons.bigsaltypond.com or at Stephen ESC on Twitter. And also in spirit is Tadriel. She was unfortunately unable to make it. It's a very busy holidays her as well. So you can find her at Tadriel on Twitch. And I'll have links to everybody in the show notes should you decide to go back and check out their episodes over the course of the year or, of course, look them up on social media and all that kind of stuff. So I thought it would be a fun way to kind of kick off the holidays to have everybody here and talk about the nerdy stuff that we are looking forward to over the Christmas season. And to start it off, I am very much looking forward to The Rise of Skywalker, but I'm curious, Mr. Ryan Murphy, do you have plans to go see Star Wars in the immediate future, or is it going to be a little bit delayed for you?
A little bit delayed. So Star Wars is a weird one because I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, but I like Star Wars. I have a friend who lives about 3 hours away that loves, adores Star Wars. So I make the pilgrimage to race down to his place, go see Star Wars, and sometimes race back all in one fell swoop. But I think this year I've moved Christmas celebrations with my parents who live down there. So we're going to go down on Sunday. We're going to quickly eat like a Christmas dinner. And then I'm going to be like, peace, have fun putting the kids to bed. I'm going to see Star Wars with my friends, which is I guess now that I say it aloud, sounds very selfish, but you know, it's like once every 2 years. So we're going to go see Star Wars on, I think, the 22nd. And I'm excited for it to be over, I guess. Not to sound mean, but I mean, it's been a long time coming. What, it was like 42
years. Yeah.
42 years. Okay. So yeah, if this is the end, I said, I'm excited for it to be over. And then someone said like, you don't actually think it's going to be over. They're going to make these things forever. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right.
If the mouse has anything to say about it, they're going to kill it till it can't. I don't know. They're gonna keep going forever.
Yeah.
They're just gonna start with another family.
Yeah, exactly.
Skywalkers are done. We'll just start with
which I'm fine with, actually.
You know, the Moon Runners instead.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was stupid.
That's a real one, right? That's a real family. Yeah. I don't know Star Wars. It sounds real.
Yeah. The Star Sprinters, them
Star
too.
Sprinters, yeah.
Or we'll just get a Baby Yoda series.
That's coming too. I shared a meme with my sister today who is in love with Baby Yoda and really enjoys the Mandalorian series. And it was Adam Driver from a non-Star Wars movie on the left. Very similar to those cat memes, you know, like you have the lady shouting at the cat.
At the cat, yeah.
And so Adam Driver is just like, the Mandalorian is a side story. And then Baby Yoda is just sitting there all nonchalant going, I am Star Wars now.
That might be true.
Yeah. It's
I love that. Yeah. That's great. That's a good use of meme.
Yeah, the number of Baby Yoda memes that I've seen over the last couple of weeks have just been absolutely crazy. And they're all so apt. Like, they're not really stretching that much because the faces that the Baby Yoda makes are so versatile. Like,
it reminds me, there's a person at work who is just like, how, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a Baby Yoda are you today? And it was just like a series of little photos of Baby Yoda making all these different expressions, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm a 1 and a 4. It was great.
Oh, that's great. Psychology classes and things like that, you know, or child psychology, point to the Baby Yoda. Like, how do you feel?
Exactly. Yeah,
nice.
Exactly. That's what it was.
Yeah. Ryan, have you been keeping up on The Mandalorian?
Yeah, actually. I guess I've fallen behind again because they released a new episode today.
Today, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm now behind by one episode, but I've been trying to keep up because it's really good, honestly. As someone who's not a huge Star Wars fan, I'm really appreciating the show and the quality of the show. So I kind of like it better than waiting for the movie, I guess. So
it's nice. Yeah. It's the first time that we've had a high quality production Star Wars serial. Like, everything else has been a cartoon, right? And they're still good, but live action has been either non-existent or just not possible until now. There wasn't the money or the, I guess, the directorial experience behind it, but I'm really enjoying it. Brockett, this is the first time I've had you on the show since The Mandalorian has been out. Have you been watching?
We did. We like Ryan. We were caught up, and much like parents, we were high fiving, and then we saw that 7 dropped, and then we're like, well, we were a brief moment in time, and we actually might beat most of my friends because most of my friends who would babysit Emerson will be out of town for the holidays, so likely we won't see Star Wars until closer to maybe 2020. So it's even more of a danger zone for us. As far as the movie is concerned, but The Mandalorian's been great. And what's interesting is I think Laura is definitely more Baby Yoda centric. Like, that brevity is really interesting to her. I like Western, so the dryness and the quiet and the pacing of it does not bother me, but I can definitely tell anybody who probably wasn't a big fan of Rogue One's like drabness, maybe a little bit, might be turned away from Mandalorian, but I've enjoyed it so far. I thought the quality's been really good. You know, it's pretty impressive that the main actor doesn't get to show any facial expressions, which from a theater background is mind-blowing because it's live action still, but it's good. It's real good.
I will say it's crazy easy. Like, it almost feels, as an actor as well, like when I act on stage, I feel like I have to be so focused on my face, so not having to worry about how my face looks is amazing.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. It's still good body language acting. Like, you still get a lot from the body language, which is really impressive. But like, and I think it also is good filmmaking and writing that is all coming together, which to your point, Joel, like, up until this point, you could argue that has not been given the resources until this golden age of television has, and now streaming has really exploded.
I was actually noticing that today. I feel like in this episode, without, there's no spoilers at all, but the Mandalorian is talking more than the average episode, I'm finding. And so he's talking to different people and has different attitudes towards those people. And there's a lot of like head tilting, and it's either down or to the side, or like, you know, a slight adjustment from left to right. And it kind of gives you this impression of like, you know, is he, you know, posting a thought to someone, or is he making a statement? And like, if he's making a statement, he does not move. Like, he doesn't flinch. But if he's being softer with someone or being more inquisitive, he tends to cock his head one way or another. It's very subtle, but because the front of his visor is essentially a giant T, it's like a big crosshair, it's really easy to see when he does move his head. So at least you know which way he's pointing. But I can imagine that's probably pretty challenging as an actor, as it would be acting through like a lot of makeup. Like, I know, Megan, you're a big fan of Doug Jones, you know, and what he does. And I can only imagine a mask like that versus, makeup. Although, I mean, it's not the first time that there's been a key character with a mask in Star Wars. I mean, Darth Vader,
But like, I know, like, just taking back to what Rocket was saying earlier, like a lot of the body movement. I know that Doug Jones does focus on a lot of his physicality with characters as well, and you almost have to do that if you don't have a face to work with. But I almost find that easier. Because in, like, you don't know, when you're acting with your face, you have to still make sure you look good. In some respect, like, sometimes you still have to look good. But, you know, when you're just focusing on how your body's moving, it can really only do what it can do, right? So you don't have to focus on, you can make it look, you know, graceful and or not. But it does have to have, or sorry, there's no limitations to, what's the word I'm looking for? Forget it. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Ryan, I know I know that we're a little bit pressed for time with you. So outside of the traveling down to see your folks for the holidays, do you have any geeky holiday plans? Any video games you're looking forward to consuming over the break?
I think I'm most looking forward to just having some extra time, and then also being off of work. I think, you know, with kids, I don't have, you know, extra time during the day to play games, but I think not having to spend energy at work, I can then conserve that energy to spend time with the family, play some games, stay up a little later. Probably going to be catching up on some games that I haven't quite finished yet. I've got Luigi's Mansion 3 that I've been playing with the kids, and they love it. They, as soon as they saw the ghost dog, they were all in. So they're excited. They even asked for it without being prompted, which is super adorable. It drives Ashley crazy, but it's a lot of fun. They, you know, they love the ghosts. I thought maybe they'd be afraid, but we're probably going to try to finish that one. And other than that, I think we're just going to take it easy, because everyone keeps telling me 2020 is going to be insane. So I'm not necessarily looking forward to that, but I am looking forward to 2020, because it's the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just sounds like 2019, that's any year. 2020, that's like sci-fi.
Depends on which sci-fi movie you're watching. We're well beyond it. I think we're past Blade Runner now, and we're certainly past Back to the
Future. Are we actually?
Yeah, past Back to the Future as well. That's gone by. I'm trying to remember, there's a couple of other ones as well that... I don't remember how far ahead Looper was, but that had some, it wasn't so crazy far ahead, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that was 2018.
Was it?
From my recollection.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Good. It's one of those movies where the rewatchability isn't always there. Like, you kind of have to wait several years before you watch it again. I was actually really surprised when I started digging up a little bit of, like, just the dates. I was texting Alistair earlier, and we were talking about spoilers in Star Wars and what's the memorandum, because somebody in my chat, you know, made a joke about, you know, Darth Vader being Luke Skywalker's father, and someone else, Alistair jumped in jokingly and said, like, I've actually never seen them. That just ruins everything. And it was a very funny little practical joke he played, but I feel like somebody else in the chat actually did chime in and say, oh, I didn't know that. And I was like, wow, okay, this movie is, and I had to look it up, 42 years old for at least A New Hope. The Empire Strikes Back was 3 years later, so 39 years old, but still, like, that, those are old movies. And I don't know if you can really hold any kind of spoilers on stuff that's that old, but I'm really hoping that the internet will just respect the fact that this is 40 years of this particular family arc in Star Wars coming down to a finite point.
You should have stopped at "you really hope the internet respects" and then full stop, and then know that was not going to be a case. Like, it does not, it respects nothing, and it will never respect anything, which is a shame, but it also, what unites us will destroy us, essentially.
I wonder if it, like, I don't remember a lot of, like, spoilers coming out of The Last Jedi right away. I remember Force Awakens certainly, like, had some stuff that people were talking about. There were those moments, but I guess the last time I've seen, like, Star Wars spoilers sort of posted was with Baby Yoda and The Mandalorian, because I think that's such a capturable moment. And plus, it's TV, so, like, you can grab a GIF no problem. But I wonder, like, I've not heard a lot about The Rise of Skywalker outside of what people are talking about in the trailer. So I wonder if it's going to be, for the first couple of weeks, if it's going to be people really out there talking about it. I don't know, like reviews were posted today. I haven't seen a lot. Maybe I'm just not on the internet as much as I used to be.
I've also been avoiding and scrolling pretty quickly. I mean, Alistair, have you seen any spoilers for Star Wars or anything, any reporting? You're usually on the cusp of this kind of thing.
Yeah, I haven't. I haven't really been on too much today anyway. Partly just winding down. I'm seeing it tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And
I am too.
Yeah, Megan and I are both going to go see it. And I wanted to get tickets opening night so that I could enjoy the internet.
Yes.
Yeah. So that I don't have to go through all of this pressure for like a week.
Yeah.
But there was, there's a guy called Carl Smallwood who has a channel on YouTube called Fact Fiend. And he tweeted saying that one of his friends had it spoiled by a Funko Pop toy. So right. Even the toys are having stuff in it apparently that will.
Lego is notorious for that, I feel like. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. There was just one set for the Avengers Civil War in which it was the hangar fight, like on the plane tarmac. And there's one particular figure. I won't say who, but basically one of them was a larger than normal Lego. And you were kind of, and that was like a big moment. And so, like, I think people were like, oh, I guess that's going to happen in the movie. And sure enough, you know, that's where it's
right.
It's just, that's one of those things. Yeah, it's a bummer. Especially since the internet will find those toys that are put out way too early and
yeah,
didn't post it all over.
I've seen some Star Wars Lego stuff where I stop looking at it before I see the movies because, of course, they put the marketing out so early and the toys are always supposed to be out for Christmas. But with the movie releasing so close to Christmas, as a toy manufacturer, you don't want your toy line being revealed on the 22nd of December.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, it's not so much that there's a lot of plot spoilers, but I like the visual reveals. Like, I remember seeing a toy for Kylo Ren's shuttle from The Force Awakens going like, oh, wow, that's really cool and different. And then going, ah, crap. Like, that would have been really cool to see for the first time on screen, not in Lego form, which is usually a poor representation of, you know, especially because it wasn't like an Ultimate Collector's Edition. It was like the Lego minifig scale version. So.
See, I'm the exact opposite with stuff like that. If I see something in like a Lego form, I'm like, oh, man, that's going to look really cool on the big screen. Can't wait to see that. Like, that's immediately my thought process with that kind of stuff. I also, like, if I didn't go see it tomorrow, I am still going, don't worry, Alistair. But I would not really care if I got any spoilers. I don't know if I care about Star Wars that much. Is that sacrilege to say?
No, I think, everybody has different levels of interest, as Ryan pointed out earlier. I think for me, it's just that spoilers do bother me. And so that is one of the few things that do get under my skin. But I grew up with Star Wars. Like, I grew up watching them on beta tapes because there was no other way to see them until they were re-released in theaters in like 97 or something. So it's not like, I think it's a little bit different where people, some people these days that are Star Wars fans, they started when they were going to see the episode 1 through 3 in theaters as kids, right? And that was their experience. And so they didn't have this long breadth of no Star Wars. They've had Star Wars in one form or another for 10 years. And I feel like for the generation that grew up watching the films either in theater or slightly thereafter on home video where you didn't really have any other choice, to go see them, I think it does have a little bit more of a pressure behind it in terms of like you want it to go well because it's important. You know, I think it's one of the reasons why people didn't like, you know, The Last Jedi so much is because it didn't live up to their expectations. And I've been easier on The Force Awakens. It's not the most original movie on the planet, but I do find that I will rewatch it and enjoy it because it's still good Star Wars.
I rewatched that one recently and it still holds up in my opinion.
It's funny, you know, I was about to do this the other day. I was thought, you know, I've got a couple of nights here. There's nothing much on Netflix. I've got Disney Plus. I can pop open The Force Awakens and watch it. And I got as far as to hit play and watch the Lucasfilm logo show up. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. I haven't watched a Star Wars movie in a really long time. And I'm about to go see it in theaters in just like 4 or 5 days. I'm going to wait for this whole Star Wars fanfare, you know, scrolling credit experience until I'm in the theater. Like, I just, there's, this is the last time for a while that I'm going to be able to go to the theater for this experience. And I decided to just like, you know, I'll rewatch them all some other time. I remember the other ones well enough that I think I can follow, you know, the Rise of Skywalker and see how they're going to play things out. Ryan, speaking of Lego, I know that obviously your kids are into Luigi's Mansions. Are there any Lego things on the kids' wish list this year?
Not yet. They're not quite that advanced. Like, I mean, they're still quite young for Lego, but honestly, Ashley and I are both, you know, Lego heads when we were kids, if that's the way to put it. But I think once they get older, they'll be in good company with, they'll ask for Lego and they'll probably get it because the two of us will want to help them. But it's funny. I do have to jet, but I was going to say, when we were talking about spoilers, I'm like Megan, I'm not too worried about Star Wars spoilers, but where I'm concerned, and this is probably the Canadian in me, is that if I hear spoilers and then I've ingested them and they're in my mind, I will accidentally spoil the movie for my friend who I'm seeing it with.
Yeah, and I don't care if people tell me spoilers, but I'm worried about telling other people spoilers.
Yeah. And he will hurt me or disown me, probably both. He's my ride back home. So
it's a long walk.
You kind of need to stay friends.
Exactly. Well, at least for until the movie's done. But yeah, no, I think that, so for the kids, I think they asked for a bunch of Paw Patrol stuff. So, man, that stuff, Lego's expensive. You should see the colored plastic that Paw Patrol puts in. That's expensive. But yeah, I do have to run. I do appreciate you inviting me on. I apologize for being the person who says, I got a jet in 10 minutes. And then, you know, every time we say, oh, we should ask Brian because he's got to go. So I feel terrible. So now everyone else
can. It's all good, man. Jet. It's all good. Enjoy the rest of your evening. And if I'm not talking to you, have a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Everyone have a fantastic holidays. And it was good to chat. Bye.
Cheers.
Happy holiday.
As I mentioned at the top of the show, we'll have links to Ryan's podcasts and other places where you can find stuff that he does with video games, zombies, and diapers, all on the show notes at thesiddlecafe.com. Well, that, I think, is probably a lid on the Star Wars talk. There's only so much you can do without having seen the actual movie. I'm curious, Brockett, you seem to have like a catalog of things that you've watched, and we always have these great conversations on the show about where it kind of sits in your fandom. Is there anything that stands out to you in the last 10 years, seeing as we're coming to the end of a decade, as like a geeky highlight moment?
In the last 10 years?
10 years.
I mean, to be utterly frank, I would say superheroes have always been one of my favorite genres. Like I said with The Mandalorian, I did kind of grow up liking Westerns. And I had the VHSs of 3 Star Wars films, all the Indiana Jones films, but I also had VHSs of Superman, the Max Fleischer cartoons, just watched this over and over and over again. And at the time, space and cowboys, like early 80s-esque, I still felt like we're still pretty dominant. And then spies were like that thing. And so I understand the Marvel fatigue. I understand superhero fatigue in all manner. But like, it's one of those things where like, I still can't get enough of it. And to me, to be frank, I'm still so blown away by the things we are getting. Not to get into it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but the completion of the series of Watchmen on HBO. Because as far as I know right now, there's no necessarily a plans for more. I don't know that really does anything different. But if anybody's ever like, some people I know, and I've almost gotten to that point with the child where I'm like, all right, great. It's on the first season. Tell me when it's over so then I can just watch it, because like, it's hard for us to keep up with things and then, you know, so on and so forth. But like, it's done. It was like 9 episodes or whatever. And like, and that was even off a property, like you're saying, Joel, like that is an old comic that kind of also quote unquote rewrote the superhero genre. And they're still making really engaging superhero stories in that sense, and it's a worlds differently than what you would find in like a Marvel film or even a DC film or whatever you want to go. So for me, I guess for the last 10 years, it's just, I've just been so happy with superheroes. Like, I wish my boy Superman was still a king of the heap, but I appreciate the fact that we're in a new era where like I just rewatched Captain Marvel and how phenomenal that film is. And I really hope my daughter Emerson appreciates that film. Not like she has to appreciate that film for any one reason, but like, it's like a great superhero film of a superhero that I don't normally get to see in all my years of watching Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, who I still love. I still love those films, but I'm also getting to see Ant-Man. I'm also getting to see all these different spectrums of characters with wildly different. I think there's an announcement of maybe a, is there a Moon Knight film coming? I like, or something related to Moon Knight. Like, that's such a wacky, weird character that if they did anything with and it was accepted, you'd be like, wow, well, we really have gone all the way there until Squirrel Girl gets her own film. But
I'm waiting for that, honestly. Yeah, I'm serious. Like, apparently she's like the strongest DC character ever.
Yeah, I think I've heard that. I think, yeah.
Yeah. Because she was like a like an auto-generated stat or something, and all of her stats are stupid ridiculous. I just remember that being a thing circulating the web for a while.
Yeah.
Alistair, do you have anything that's stuck out to you over the last decade in terms of geeky entertainment?
There's probably three moments that have kind of come to mind. So one is just, you know, going back to all the Marvel stuff, just the culmination that End Wars brought. Endgame. And just seeing what a decade of Marvel films had kind of built up to, where it felt, you know, the payoff was there. Also, when we went to 2015, being a huge Back to the Future fan, I lined everything up. So I watched Back to the Future 1 on New Year's Eve, and I timed everything perfect to the minute, so that as soon as we hit midnight and went into 2015, that's the exact time the DeLorean arrives in Back to the Future 2.
That's cool. That's really cool. Nice.
So I planned this out big time, and that was such a great kind of thing to go, they're in 2015 and so are we. And I think probably the other biggest thing, which really goes back to my childhood and respect for the man, is seeing Patrick Stewart on stage, not in person, I saw it on videos online, but on stage announcing his return to Star Trek with the upcoming Star Trek Picard series, which comes out very early next year.
I'm really jazzed for that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the last couple years have been really big for Star Trek. Like, when did the first J.J. Abrams film come out, Alistair, do you remember?
2009.
Okay, so a lot closer to the earlier part of the, not even in this decade, it was more than 10 years ago. Interesting. That feels like it was a lot more recent.
I know, right?
I feel like maybe it's just because Discovery, the latest Star Trek film, and Picard now all feel so close together, but I feel like Discovery has really kind of put Star Trek back on the map.
Hmm. And they have a whole host of shows that they have sort of lined up and planned out.
Mm.
They're still trying to get a fourth JJ film off the ground. Star Trek's not slowing down at all.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Megan, anything stick out for you in the last 10 years?
Wonder Woman was the big thing, I think. And also to have it come back in 2020. Like actually seeing Wonder Woman on a big screen for the first time. She is like my number one favorite superhero, and to have her like actually be a relevant part of geek culture and kind of have people, you know, see that she's in her own right a really powerful superhero, was really awesome. And then just as a woman as well, who never saw a lot of female superheroes, having Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel and, you know, all these amazing women in cinema and superhero films has been really rewarding and really nice. And like, we were at HalCon this year, and seeing a lot of, you know, little girls walk around as Captain Marvel and little girls walk around as Rey from Star Wars. It's just been kind of nice to see that. It's expanding the audience to any sort of geek culture that's been out there. And I think it's really great to see.
Yeah, I think that Wonder Woman preceded Captain Marvel. I mean, I'm sure Captain Marvel was probably in the process. Like, it was probably planned either at the same time or roughly, but I think it did come out ahead of time. And I think that Wonder Woman really helped pave a way.
It's at the bar.
Yeah. Because, I mean, not only what, I mean, you and I have talked about it on the show a number of times, but it's a phenomenal film to introduce, you know, Wonder Woman to a modern cinema going audience. Like Gal Gadot knocks it out of the park.
So good.
I mean, I was jazzed when I watched the 1984 trailer. Have you seen, I'm assuming you've seen it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Have I seen it?
But like, but like everything about it, like I was really, because I you gotta understand, like I know the only thing I know about Wonder Woman comes from the Justice League cartoons, some Justice League comics, but never did I read like Wonder Woman books, you know, and I didn't watch any kind of Wonder Woman shows or anything like that when I was a kid. But so it's, she's always been part of the Justice League, and I'm usually gravitating towards Batman, Superman. But to hear about like Wonder Woman 1984, and I kind of went, really? Okay. Like, I mean, I kind of know that the 80s had some heyday and some different things happened with different characters, but it looks like they're really owning the 80s. Like it just, it really feels like in the trailer that they're going to push the, a little bit of the goofiness, but they're still, for whatever reason, because it's Wonder Woman and because we know where she's from and what she can do in the first movie, big gold armor and like all that kind of stuff, it just makes sense. Like it doesn't seem like the 80s glam where you roll your eyes, you know, like it looks like it might fit.
And like the 80s, I feel like are becoming a really prevalent part of, again, geek culture, because with Stranger Things being a thing that was set in the 80s,
right?
I feel like 80s fashion, 80s music, 80s, like pretty much the 80s, you know, Thor Ragnarok had like a weird kind of 80s vaporwave vibe going on with it.
Yep.
As well. So I don't know. I feel like the 80s just seem like a natural place for that to go. And I love 80s music and 80s vaporwave and glam rock and everything. I was really jazzed to find out they were putting it in the 80s. I don't know. It just feels like it fits with Wonder Woman so much.
Well, and it goes, it makes it unique, right? Because you've got Endgame and all of the other Avengers stuff that kind of is kind of happening in like in now / future now, you know, like it's a high tech version of modern day, or in Endgame they fast forward a little bit, but you know, 5-10 years or something like that. In the Marvel movies as they were happening, Captain America, you know, well, that was more of a period piece, but like Winter Soldier was meant to be more like, you know, high tech modern day, kind of like what if this was a possible now sort of a thing. Same, sort of like Jurassic Park, you know, like it was high tech, but it was high tech happening now. And setting it back in the 80s eliminates some of the things that you have to accept in shows like Stranger Things. So many problems in Stranger Things can be solved if someone has a cell phone, but no one does, right? Because it's 89 or 87 or whatever it was. And I feel like that's going to be really important in Wonder Woman. Like it keeps it, in a way, I mean, I'm sure the bad guys that she's going to be fighting are going to be a lot more sophisticated than bank robbers. But I always say, like, I will watch Superman stomp a bank robbery. That's fine. In a film, that's totally fine with me. I don't need it to be super high tech and fit with a modern day, you know, sort of audience. And so I feel like by putting Wonder Woman set in 1984, they give themselves an opportunity to tell a really good story without modern day technology muscling in there and the internet making it mucky, you know, like finding all these different loopholes. It focuses you on the characters as opposed to all the stuff around them, which I think is going to be kind of cool.
Sorry, go ahead.
I would say I'm confused. Maybe you can fill me in, because I'm confused how Steve Trevor is in it.
I was about to say, like, I'm really interested and very curious about how Steve is there. There were rumors that he is playing his own grandson. Like, this is Steve Trevor's grandson who we're seeing.
Is he Philip J. Fry?
I don't know. No, she calls him Steve. I don't know. It's all weird.
I'm hoping that there's no time travel, because there does seem to be a bit of a fish out of water vibe in the jokes about he's in there in 1984 with her, and they're talking about everything is art, and he's looking at a trash can, and she's like, no, that's just a trash can. And so it does kind of feel like that. Well, I can't remember what it was. There was a movie where they brought someone forward in time, and he was it was Leopold or something. I can't remember what the name of the film was, but it was a romantic comedy where somebody gets brought forward. I think it's Hugh Jackman.
Oh, Kate and Leopold.
Kate and Leopold. And so there's all these moments where he's looking at like taxi cabs and subways, and he's got this like fish out of water, you know, kind of thing going on. So I'm hoping they don't overdo that. But I mean, it's still like, I mean, I obviously will go to see it. It's going to be a fantastic ride, I'm sure.
I think it's kind of interesting though, because it's kind of like role reversal, because before she was the fish out of water with everything. And,
oh, that's right. You're right.
Right. So now, yeah. Like, maybe it's her turn to kind of guide him along, which I think is a really nice kind of circle.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
That's right. I forget about that with like the smart ice cream and, yeah, and her. But because I think the part of it there was that I forgot about it because everything about that is, it was set in the 40s, right? 40s?
30s.
No, 30s. Was, yeah,
30s. Because First World War.
So. Yeah, First World War. So like 1900 to like 1909 or something, sometime around then, I think.
It was
set in the First World War, so yeah, I think early 1900s. Because World War II was in the 40s, I think.
Yes, yeah,
just looking it up.
Yeah, well you looked that up 1914
start date, right? 13,
yeah. So for me, I have like a broader spectrum of stuff. Netflix in general, like over the last, like streaming, I guess, as a blanket statement, but Netflix specifically has kind of paved the way for some very good non-traditional cable content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got things like Stranger Things, no longer a fan of this particular show, but when it was first out, I really liked it. House of Cards, Lost in Space. You've got, and if we're swinging back to extended cable, the other big thing that happened for me is Game of Thrones. That defined, I think, it defined the last 10 years in terms of entertainment, fantasy and sci-fi stuff. And I think in a lot of ways, despite the fact that, you know, we've covered it extensively on this show and the ending of that series was not the best. If you go back and listen to any of the Citadel Cafe episodes, or even go back and watch any of the earlier seasons of Game of Thrones, it really made fantasy and that kind of fantasy geekdom popular, and it made it more mainstream, right? It became water cooler talk, not nerdy, kind of like only two people in the corner are talking about this really show very passionate, you know, this very odd show passionately. Everybody was talking about it. Like it was the thing that brought everybody in. It's very similar to how people are looking at Disney Plus in terms of a streaming service and what it might mean going forward, considering all the different IPs that they own. That might be not necessarily like the best streaming service, but it's probably going to be one of the streaming services that make a lot of people look at streaming alternatives, right? And like if you've got kids and you're mainly keeping your cable subscription because of the kids shows, then, you know, switching to YouTube and Disney Plus is going to be a lot cheaper, and, you know, it's content that you can control and you know what to expect. And I feel like streaming in general, but just the combination of like Disney Plus, Disney buying Marvel, and then a 20th Century Fox, combined with the Game of Thrones phenomenon, and I'm going to chime in with Brockett and say the Marvel kind of universe, the way that not so much that the superhero thing, but like the orchestration of, was it 19 films altogether that tied into one story in one way or another? Like they could still have their own thing, but then they overlapped and became this one content, like continuous story. I think that you're going to see franchises moving forward look at that success in all that it has meant for Marvel and Disney and try to capitalize on that. I mean, looking at Star Wars, they might be wrapping up the Star Wars, the Skywalker saga with episode 9 this year, but whatever they do next, I can almost guarantee you that there's going to be some sort of through point. It might not be all the same characters, but there's going to be some sort of overlap and through point that's going to tie everything together. So if you go see the next Star Wars film, and then you go see the, or if you're watching the Star Wars television series or you're watching the cartoon, there's going to be some little tie-in here and there that's going to make all the difference, and try to like capitalize on the fact that they have all of the eyeballs available to them on multiple platforms. And so
they've already had like a sort of tie-in with Star Wars anyway for potential future things. Again, I just watched the second one of the current trilogy tonight. And I forgot there's like a, everyone's seen it, right? I'm not spoiling anything if I.
Oh, Last Jedi? Like, yeah. We're spoiler free on The Last Jedi. I'm sure that most people that listen to the show have seen it.
Okay.
I haven't seen any Star Wars
movies. Get out of here, Alistair.
So he's starting with the Rise of the Skywalker and working backwards so he can see the journey in reverse.
Exactly. There you go. But no, at the end of this last one that came out, was I never remember the names. It's all Star War. That's kind of how I refer to it all. It's all just a Star War. There's a little boy on the casino planet that they end up going on. And at the very end, he uses the Force to bring a broom to him.
Right.
It's really subtle. It like blink and you miss it. Mm-hmm. And I noticed it and I had to get my boyfriend to back it up and watch it again. He was like, oh shit, I didn't even know that was there. But I feel like that's a hint for something else coming later. So it's obviously not the end of Star Wars. It's just it's another potential thread for the universe.
Yeah. Broomchild will be
Broomchild.
The greater storyline. Skywalker was cool, but Broomchild, talk about moon runners. Broomchild is definitely going to be Broony one of Broomchild the worst names, name. But like very popular.
The Star Sweeper clan, that's what's going to
Star Sweeper.
That's really great.
That is not bad, Joel. You need to really get on that before Disney, like
right.
Totally just yeah. like pitch has a cease and desist.
Yeah, that's like, not going to infringe on any IPs at all. Oh man. So how is everyone going to be spending the Christmas holiday? Alistair, do you have any nerdy plans? Do you have any I know you're into tabletop gaming. You've obviously got plans to go see Star Wars with Megan tomorrow. Anything else on the go that is of the nerdy ilk?
Not particularly. I mean, I've got a board game called Star Trek Ascendancy, which I know that I've talked to your Megan's ear off quite a bit about offline.
You've been threatening to play that for so long.
Yeah. And two new expansions came out, so I'm looking at really kind of digging into those over the holidays. And normally I have this kind of routine of watching certain movies like Die Hard, Santa Claus the Movie, and Home Alone. And this year, I've decided I'm going to actually avoid any of the films that I normally do. And I'm going to try and seek out some Christmas films that I've not seen. And just sort of dig around the barrel and see what else is new that I can find. Just for a bit of a change up, really.
I know that Stephen Sharky Schwenard, who couldn't be here, he watched Klaus, I think. On Netflix.
Oh, I've heard that's amazing.
He said it was very good. Yeah. And I think
phenomenal.
It looks good. I mean, I haven't sat down to watch it because I haven't been in the animated film mood lately. But it looks like it was very, very well done. And I didn't really get any crazy voice recognition from the cast. Which is good because I find that some Netflix shows, they like DreamWorks, they tend to like lean in on the celebrity voices a little bit too much sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like I can't unhear Jack Black as the panda in Kung Fu Panda. Like I just it breaks the immersion a little bit for me. They're still phenomenal films. I really like Kung Fu Panda, the first one. I thought it was hilarious and beautifully animated. It's just for whatever reason I can't unhear Jack Black. There's no mystery there. Whereas and they do a better job with this at Pixar, even though I think it's Craig T. Nelson does Mr. Incredible.
Yeah.
In The Incredibles. I didn't necessarily see Craig T. Nelson when I was listening to that. Like just because he's
You're old enough to know. Like I feel like most people who saw it were like, he is Mr. Incredible, and all their parents were like, no, he's Coach.
Exactly.
Like and you're like, what? Who
yeah.
the heck's Coach?
And I'm old enough to know that, but for whatever reason it just didn't. He wasn't so well known, you know, and but they do that with well known actors too. Like, I mean, Woody is Tom Hanks. I mean, everyone knows who Tom Hanks is, but for whatever reason, he melts into Woody, and I don't think so much about it.
That's also just Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks can just melt any role that he can do.
True.
Like he's
Tom
just
Hanks will play Tom Hanks in the Tom Hanks biopic in like 5 years. It's going to be weird. But he'll win an Oscar for playing himself, and they'll say, no one's played Tom Hanks like you did, Tom Hanks. And he'll be like, thank you. He'll be like, I know. I'm sorry. I felt this, and I had to take this part.
Oh, that's good. Brockett, do you and the Young family have any nerdy plans over the holidays?
Well, we'll try and see Star Wars at some point. We will probably tonight or in the next couple nights try and see the next Mandalorian. Personally, I've been rewatching. So I finished, my wife and I finally saw Endgame probably about 2 weeks ago. And since then, I planned to rewatch it, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to pop around and rewatch a couple Marvel films since then. So I've been rewatching mostly all the Caps. Because I think for the most part, for my money, the Cap franchise is the best of all the Marvel films. Like, there's not a bad one in the bunch for me. And then I rewatched like Captain Marvel and this stuff. So I've been bumping around watching those. And also on my queue is to watch Big Hero 6, which I never got to see. And I really? See. Yeah,
absolutely. Oh, you're going to love
it. So fun. Like, it just hit it this one Christmas where I was in Dallas and my father-in-law and I went to go see it in theaters and it was sold out. So instead I saw this Chris Rock movie with him. It's the most strangest jig jag. So I've seen that Chris Rock movie, which I cannot name, but I have not seen Big Hero 6. So I'm planning to try and see that. And recently I started on the video game front, Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch, the first game, which if anybody's not familiar with it, it's basically like playing Miyazaki as like an fantasy RPG. And I gotta tell you, it's exactly that, because like there's animated parts for cutscenes and there's computer generated cutscenes, but the way they did the cel shading, the way they kind of animate Miyazaki in general, it's very like unobtrusive when they switch, and it's still incredibly charming and incredibly like one of the main people is like a Welsh speaking tiny little thing with a lantern hanging from its nose. It's just weird. It's just perfectly like exactly what you imagine from that, that sort of animation and what you have come to expect from that. So that game, I think, and then just trying to catch up on a couple things here and there and whatnot. I think I might try and start myself His Dark Materials, which oddly enough I haven't heard anything good or bad about on HBO.
I watched like the first couple episodes of that.
It was something. Okay, all right, well,
and, like, it looks beautiful, it looks amazing.
Yeah,
and it's not bad. I just don't maybe think I was in the right headspace to watch it when I first started it. Be prepared for a lot of exposition, I guess.
I've heard the books are incredibly like a lot of different young adult novels. Like the first one starts off great, world building, interesting, and by the end of the book series, I guess it gets very preachy into one sort of thing or kind of devolve. So I had always avoided the books, the Golden Compass, Amber Spyglass, and Subtle Knife, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I, of course, you know, I didn't see the ill-fated franchise when they did it as a movie. So I literally would go into the TV series with like no information really about it. But it's just one of those things where I'm like, yeah, like if you watch anything on HBO, basically they show you all the shows that they have and they pinpoint it really well. So like while watching Watchmen, you see these His Dark Materials commercials a bunch. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, maybe I'll dip into that. But yeah, I think generally it'll be playing catch up on a couple things here and there. Luckily, I think I've finished The Dragon Prince. I've finished Watchmen. And my wife and I finished this last season of Succession, so we're kind of in a place where once we are caught up with Mandalorian, we'll kind of be waiting for the fall shows to come back, or you know, just catching up on more movies here and there.
What did you think of The Dragon Prince, real quick?
After if not for Watchmen basically being a bottle, I'll just assume they never do anything again. The Dragon Prince would probably be my number one show of 2019. It basically hit all the buttons that Brockett loves. Not to say anything, but like Brockett loves him some like squishy lovies. So like if there's some romance, like I literally will tell my buddy Adam, who recommends animes, and I've recommended them to Joel, who politely sits in silence until I'm done talking about them. And
you can recommend them to me if I need some new ones to watch.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, every time I watch a new one, the first question in my mouth, and Adam loves me, but he always knows this is coming. I'm like, is there like romance? Is there like, and like, or I'll start to watch it and be like, oh, I hope these two, I'm shipping these two characters. He's like, it's an anime. They're like gonna have feelings, but nobody's gonna like kiss or do anything. I'm like, then why am I watching this show? And he's like, well, it's My Hero Academia. It's amazing. And I'm like, yes, you're right. And I will watch it. But unless me get some smooches, I'm gonna be a little upset. So like, I will say, I was very pleased with some recent developments in the world of.
Oh, me too. Okay, we're on the same page. I'm glad.
Yeah. Nice. I was super. Yeah. If anything, like that was almost like that. Some moments of that was almost like, that's it. All right. How many episodes are left? No. That's climax. We're there. We're tapped it. Only bad stuff can happen from here on. But no, it was good. I really enjoyed it.
Megan, anything on your plate that we should know about?
Oh boy. I was trying to sift everything. I got to finish Carnival Row. I still didn't finish that one yet.
Me either. It's hard to finish.
It is hard. You have to be in the right brain space for it because it's dark.
Like, it is
dark,
really. One. It's yeah. Kind of grimy and like it's like I'm eating dinner. I don't know if I should be watching this show.
I mean, I can eat dinner while watching it. That doesn't bother me. But it's mostly just, do I feel like having this weird existential dread today? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I got to watch Mandalorian and. My boyfriend has been hyping up Watchmen forever. He's like was super into it. He told me about like the Lube Man or something. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, Brockett. The guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, this sounds like a crazy show. I gotta check this out at some point. And of course, Star Wars. On Thursday, tomorrow's Thursday. Yes, it is.
everyone can direct their ire to. Oh, Megan Townsend.
I will be sure to remind you, Megan.
Thank you. Thank you. And oh boy, there's so much. I'm trying to just work with OBS right now on my computer because I'm looking at starting up a stream channel in the new year. So a lot of my homework has been software knowledge.
It's a steep slope, man. It's one of those things that I dug into a couple years ago when I started streaming a year and a bit. And once I got the settings to work, it was just like, don't rock the boat. And now that I've got this new PC and I've been streaming some new games, I'm actually still streaming Minecraft, which is my main game that I stream from my Mac because, again, the settings are all working. And I know that as soon as I try to set stuff up on the new machine, this is like, no, this is not going to be the same.
I have a PC and I might look at getting either Minecraft on the PC because I know I don't have to pay for it again. I've already bought it. I just have to download the client onto my PC. So I might take a look at Streamlabs. I'm just not sure if I can get The Sims from my Mac onto a PC with the same account. That's something I have to look into. Either way, if I plan on streaming from my Mac at all, I'm going to have to learn OBS. But Streamlabs works on a PC.
And it
just kind of does its own thing. It kind of is like self-contained.
So OBS is an open broadcast software package, and Streamlabs has taken that package and put their own, we'll say, graphic interface on top of it. And they've made things a little bit clearer. They've made things a little bit more useful. They've incorporated your Twitch chat into the same program. Like, there's all these different things that Streamlabs have done to make streaming from Streamlabs OBS a lot easier for especially people that are relatively new to streaming. And so I'm noticing a big difference coming from the very clunky Mac version of OBS, going over to stream No Man's Sky on my new PC. And just even the fact that I have a Bluetooth controller, like a Bluetooth remote with my phone to switch scenes. Like, I don't have to remember a hotkey or go to a different monitor. Yeah, it's an app on your phone. It's free. You touch a button and it goes live or be right back or thank you for watching. Or like, it's crazy.
It's blown right now.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And And again, like the Twitch integration, like if you had limited space, like I have the luxury right now of having two computers next to one another. So I just use my Mac to monitor the chat room, but I'm not always going to have that choice. Eventually, when I move the thing to a new desk, it's going to be separate. So it's going to come in very handy to use like an app or something like that. So I think that that kind of stuff is very cool. I've been watching a lot more streaming this year than I ever thought that I would. And it's not normally something I do. Like I am a streamer, I guess, but I don't often consume them because they're time consuming. Like I'm not the kind of person that can have a stream on in the background all the time. Like I like to sit and watch stuff. So I usually find when it comes to consuming things around video games, like Minecraft Let's Plays and things like that, that I tended to go to YouTube as opposed to Twitch. But lately I've actually been going through and watching VODs from streams that I didn't catch live because of time zones or whatever. And found myself sitting there and watching Iskull85. He's a Hermitcraft member and an avid Minecrafter and streamer. And he's been doing this modded stuff, and I've just been learning a lot. So it's like part homework for my other podcast, the Spawnchunks, and part just like learning about modded and watching this really entertaining streamer do his thing. And in a way, kind of learning a little bit and taking some notes from someone that is really good at talking about what he's doing, keeping in touch with the chat room. I get really self-conscious when I stream when I'm quiet, and I feel like, well, if I'm not saying anything, how entertaining am I really being? But I've noticed a lot of times when I sit there and analyze someone like Iskull, he doesn't talk in some places. Like there'll be places where he's actually thinking about what he needs to do. And it's a good solid 30 to 60 seconds where he says nothing. But because you're watching him do something, you don't notice. And it's different when you're on the other side of that. So I'm trying, moving forward with my own streams, I'm trying to think like, you know, I don't have to talk a mile a minute all the time, even though it's one of my strengths. But it's hard to do for 3 hours. It's one of those things that, you know, I start to run out of stuff to talk about. If the chat room is quiet and not asking questions, then that's tough. The only time that I've noticed that I can keep it up for a longer period. Now, I don't normally do 3 hour streams when I do art because that's a long time for me to sit and draw. Normally 2 hours is fine, but I can absolutely talk about what I'm doing on an art stream for 2 hours with, I don't even need a chat room. Like, but that's different. I think it's not, I mean, it's something that I've been doing for the bulk of my life. Whereas Minecraft, I've only been doing for 2 years. And I guess that's something that I should point out as a big game changer for me in the last 10 years, even in the last three, is being introduced by Steven, who isn't here, to Minecraft. And it has become a gaming hobby. It's become a professional podcast that I do. It's become a networking device where I've got other art contracts from other people that play Minecraft. Like it's bananas what getting introduced into the Minecraft community has done for me in terms of, you know, nerdy stuff over the last decade. But I mean, for me, it's much more recent, but the game itself is 10 years old. So I think, imagine a lot of people out there would look back at the last 10 years and Minecraft would be at the forefront of what their nerdy experiences have been. From 2010 to 2020, it's even crazy seeing 2020 outside 2020. Like what?
Yeah.
What?
I know, that's nuts.
Yeah. 2020. Yeah. It's
20,
a little
20.
A little bit strange. Thanks for the clarification. And I guess for me over the holidays, speaking of Minecraft, that's probably what I'm going to be doing a little bit more of. I am in a position where I get to take a little bit of a Christmas vacation this year, which is not always the case, but I get to take a few days off, which is going to be great. I'm still probably going to be streaming because I don't really consider that work. Like it's part of my work strategy and part of the marketing stuff that I do, but it's also ridiculously fun. So it doesn't feel that taxing. I am going to take the we'll say the responsibility duties off, the shackles of when I stream and what I stream is not going to be quite so, you know, Saturday Minecraft may or may not happen. It's going to be like Saturday, whatever I'm in the mood for. Maybe it's flying starships in No Man's Sky. Maybe it's trying to build a factory in Satisfactory, something I might pick up over the holidays, or maybe it's something completely different. I don't know. I downloaded Destiny the other day because Destiny 2 is now free to play. So, hey, why not? We'll check it out. Something like that would be kind of cool. And I found myself, I want to give a shout out to one of our community members. I was reading the Voyagers Workshop newsletter the other day from Wouter in our Discord. And he was talking about reading the manuals and all the different opportunities and I guess learning books and things that are out there for tabletop games, for D&D, for Star Wars tabletop, for the Lord of the Rings one, and there's a couple of other ones that he mentioned too. And I think I might start to freshen up. I think I have a copy of the 5th edition of D&D around somewhere. I think it's a PDF. I might not feel like sitting and reading a screen. I might want the book experience, but I'm wanting in the future, in 2020, I'm hoping to try and find a tabletop, regular tabletop group or something for D&D. I'm not sure how.
That's the real quest, Joel.
Yeah, I know.
We all are. We're all trying to find love. And we're all trying to find a good party that we can campaign with where nobody will abandon us. God, and our DM will move away.
I know a
number
of campaigns if you need a campaign.
Yeah.
I
have
so... Oh, that's phenomenal.
It wasn't too many is the problem.
No. And the thing is, like, I don't have time for anything too robust, you know, like, but at the same time, I'd also like to do it with some people that I maybe already know. Like, it would be also a good opportunity to spend time with friends because I work so much. And because we all tend to be at home and stream movies and things like that so much, it would be a really good opportunity to unplug and just be at a table in front of humans for, you know, a little while, even if it is only like once a month or whatever happens to work out.
I almost have the exact opposite problem because I work with people so much. When I come home, I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Nice. All right. Well, I think that's probably a good point to wrap it up. Thanks so much to everybody for hanging out tonight and giving your thoughts on the last decade or so of entertainment. I think it's been an awful lot of fun. I'm going to go around the horn with you guys first before I go into the long exit. Megan, if people are curious about you and what you're up to, where can people find you online?
People can find me online on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Omegan Townsend. And if you'd like to, actually on Twitch too, Omegan Townsend everywhere. Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Yep.
Alistair, any place that we can direct the folks to find your work?
Easiest just to find me on Twitter at iMcFly. And I do have a website, omyzod.com. Haven't updated that in a little while, but I do intend to do that at some point.
We'll have them all linked in the show notes. And last but not least, Brockett, where can people find you?
My handle, if I'm anywhere, is the catvolver, usually one word. That's pretty much it.
You can find all of the show notes for this week at thecitadelcafe.com. The music for the show was composed, of course, by Kevin MacLeod. And if you have some thoughts over the last decade of entertainment and you want to send them in, that is thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. I think it would be great to kick off the new year with some listener email. So you can find us on Twitter and Facebook as well. You can subscribe on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, and maybe in 2020 on YouTube. It just depends on how much time I have. Honestly, with podcasts, though, sharing the podcast with friends is the best way to spread the show around. Word of mouth, poke a friend in the arm and say, hey, they had a great holiday episode. You might be in the mood for this kind of stuff. Share the podcast and let people know where to find it at thecitadelcafe.com. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything I'm doing online at joelduggan.com, including links to my other podcasts like the Spawn Chunks about Minecraft. You can also find links to my social media. I'm really easy to find. It's all just Joel Duggan. And of course, I will point you towards Twitch, which is twitch.tv/Joel Duggan. Look for No Man's Sky and Minecraft and maybe some new stuff. Who knows? You've been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
It's 2020, just to clarify.
2020.
I like to call it hindsight. I'm going to call next year hindsight.
I'm just gonna be I was waiting for someone to make that joke.
Oh.
I was waiting for that.